knows by yet. You mind the spirit. If he's putting something on your heart, you need to do it. So the choir will be singing in a minute. Trent will be preaching. He's got the tie on this morning looking nice. So he'll be preaching in a little bit. But I wonder if anybody got a testimony before we start off. Not we'll take up offering. Tony, pray for the offering, please. Testimonies are in order this morning. This choir is singing, so y'all mind the Lord.
All right, man.
Amen. Thank you, choir. If y'all could have seen Miss Paige sitting back there, she just directing that choir, look me like y'all wouldn't believe back there. So you don't think the kids are watching, they are. So remember that. Anybody got anything else? If not, Jordan Pritt, will you stand and pray for Trent as he comes, buddy?
Morning.
Morning.
Anybody have a testimony before I get started? Give you an extra chance here. We were sitting in class this morning, and I wasn't sure who was supposed to teach this morning. I thought it was Aaron, but then as time got closer to 10 o'clock, we were sitting in there, and they were held up by something, and so we were like, well. I thought, was I supposed to teach? And I didn't know about it. And then I was like, Austin, were you supposed to teach? And he's like, I don't think I was supposed to teach. And then Emily was teaching somewhere else. And we were like, well, who's supposed to teach? And then we were sitting there trying to decide. And some of us were like, well, I haven't been here for 2 weeks. We've been on vacation. And somebody else was like, well, I wasn't here the week before. I was on vacation. And then they said the week before we were on vacation. So so I was like, well, this lets me know what I need to preach on this morning. That we should be on vacation so much, right? We ought to be in church a little more often, so we know who's supposed to teach. But there's a lot of people gone this morning at the fair. I'm filling in for Jimmy this morning. But the two questions I want to ask this morning is: Are we listening for God to tell us what we should be doing? That's the first question. And then once we hear Him, to what length are we willing to go to do what He asked us to do? So those are the two questions. Are we listening to God for Him to tell us what we should be doing? And to what length will we go to do what He's asked us to do? So think about those things. Write them down if you want to. Those are two questions that that you have to ask yourself and assess for yourself what state in your Christian walk those would be for you. And then this Christian walk is a relationship, so we'll be able to grow and work on those things as we go. So those are the two questions I want to think about as we go through this message this morning. So the first the beginning question is: should we be doing God's will all the time? What's the answer to that? Yes, and that's obvious. That's the obvious answer. So the answer to the question is why? Why should we be? What is our reason for doing God's will all the time? Why should we be working for God all the time?
Scripture says it's our reasonable service.
It's our reasonable service, okay. What else? We're supposed to be, we're Christians. What does that mean? That we follow Christ. We're Christ followers. We're Christians. So if you think about Christ's life, he was always living for God. In Luke chapter 2, it's talking about where Jesus was preaching, teaching his first message. How old was Jesus when he first taught his first message? 12 years old. And it says, you know, we know the story. Mary and Joseph, they were traveling. They left the city, and they get a certain ways out, and then they realize, we've just left the sacrifice for the entire world behind. We forgot about him. And so then they go back, and they find him and tell him, oh, we were worried, you know. And we didn't know where you were, and he's all calm, and he's like, did you not assume that I must be about my Father's business? That was his response. Did you not just assume that I was doing what God wanted me to do? And I mean, that's a bold answer, but realistically, if we're Christians, we should always be about our Father's business. There should be no question why we're doing certain things or why we're doing this or that. It's that we feel like God's led us to do this, and that we're about our Father's business. And then another situation, whenever Christ and his disciples, they had to travel somewhere, they didn't want to go through Samaria because they didn't like the Samaritans. And Christ said, this was his words, he said, I must needs go through Samaria because he had business there. And you know the story, he went to the well, and and met the woman at the well, and she was converted. But to the disciples, they didn't want to go through Samaria. They didn't like the Samaritans. But Christ was about his Father's business. He knew that he had business to go through Samaria to meet that woman. So he was about his Father's business. And then the third one, whenever that he was in the garden near the time of the crucifixion, that he took the disciples to the garden, had some of them stay here, and then he took three of them a little bit further, had them stay there, and then he went a little further. And what was he doing? What was Christ doing when he went a little bit further? What was he in the garden for? He was praying. And what was he praying for? The cup. Right, the cup, exactly. He wanted the cup to be removed because he knew what was coming in his life. He knew he was going to have to go through the crucifixion, and he said, "Lord, please allow this cup to pass for me," because that was not what he wanted to do. But what did he say after that? Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou will. So once again, it was not what he wanted, but he was about his Father's business. He said, "If it's not what I want to do, but if it's what you would have me to do, then I will do it." So those are just three examples of Christ in Christ's life of how, you know, he was always about his Father's business and what God wanted him to do. So us as Christians, we follow Christ. We should also be the same way. We should also be about our Father's business throughout our lives. So how do we make sure that we're about our Father's business all the time? How can we be assured that we're doing the right thing and we're working for Him? Listening to the Holy Spirit, reading His Word, listening to the Holy Spirit. That's the one I want to focus on this morning. That we have to listen for His voice in our lives, kind of telling us what to do, and that can be hard. It's not always easy to hear God, especially if we're not used to doing that. I know, you know, has anybody actually heard God's voice? No, nobody has actually probably heard God's voice. So it can be difficult for some people, especially when they're first starting out in Christianity, and even people who's been Christians for 20 years, some of them still aren't very good at hearing God's voice, because it's not always easy. But the more that we practice, the more that we talk to God and then listen for His voice back, the better we are at hearing Him. So we have to, what are some things that His voice sounds like? What does His voice sound like in different ways? Thunder. That would be His actual voice back in the Old Testament and stuff like that. For us, what could God's voice sound like? A still small voice. The Holy Spirit's talking to us. He can talk to us. What can it feel like? What can it look like? He can speak to us through dreams, different signs of things going on in our lives. He can speak to us through song. Storms, sometimes weather can be a sign to somebody. Life events that are happening in our lives, someone else's testimonies He can speak to us through. He has different ways for us to talk to us through. What are some things that causes us to not hear those things, to not hear His voice? Sin, separation from Him. A lot of times worry, fear, and doubt. So like if we're going through something in our lives that we don't know which way to go or we don't know how to handle it. A lot of times we can be, I know from personal experience, I can be so worried about the decision that I have to make, or so fearful that I'm not going to make the right decision, that fear and that doubt that I'm not going to make the right choice is so much louder in my mind that I cannot hear God at all telling me what to do, because I'm so fearful and I'm so scared of what the decision should be that I'm just completely blocking out what God's trying to tell me to do because of that fear. So fear and doubt can get in the way. A lot of times our own plans for our lives can get in the way of what God's trying to tell us to do. Maybe for example in church, maybe I come into church and I'm feeling kind of lazy. I don't want to stand up. I don't feel like testifying or anything tonight. So I'm just going to zone out and just sit back and relax. And I'm not going to hear God telling me that I need to be standing up and telling what God's done for me this week. I'm not going to hear the songs that somebody's singing that's trying to tell me, kind of lead me in my life, or the testimonies that somebody says that could have an impact on my future. because I'm just sitting back and I have other plans for this service than what maybe God has had plans for me. And then a lot of times we can limit His voice. There's a lot of times that we think, oh, God can't speak to me through that, or He wouldn't use this to speak to me through. We kind of limit how God can talk to us, so then we don't hear those things, or we don't look at those things as ways that He's actually speaking to us. And for example, I was fishing earlier this week, and I was just sitting there. You know, I went to my uncle's pond, and I never catch anything out there ever. And but I was just bored, so me and Dad went, and so I was just kind of, you know, just reeling in, and you know, when a fish starts to bite, you can feel it tug. So when I wasn't feeling nothing, and so I was just talking to God in my head, and I was like, you know what? Because there's times that I'll talk to God and kind of just ask Him to show me something, or just kind of show me everything's okay. And so there was a girl that I've been recently talking to as a freshman in college, and you know, good family, going to, you know, goes to church, raised like I was, but I just didn't feel like it was right. You know, she seemed kind of immature, and it was going to cause me a lot more stress than what I can handle right now in my life. I was like, but if this is what you want for me, you know, I wanted God to direct me, not myself. And so I was just like, when I was reeling in, I was like, if you could just give me a little tug on the line to tell me maybe I should just stay still and leave well enough alone for right now. And I didn't feel anything. And so then about two casts later, I catch my biggest fish that I've ever caught. And then I put it back in, and at the time I was my biggest fish. And then the next cast, then I actually catch the biggest fish I ever caught after that, and I just was sidetracked on what I was doing. Then I thought about it a little bit later. I was like, I think that's a sign. I was like, because that's basically what I just asked Him to do, was give me a little tug on the line. He definitely gave me a tug on the line, but at first I was thinking, I kind of forgot about it because I was just asking for the tug at that moment. And then I wasn't thinking, oh, well, 5 minutes later, He could still be speaking to me. You know what I'm saying? But I kind of limited His voice to that moment rather than the moments that happened just after. Like I said, I never catch nothing there, and I did. So sometimes we can limit His voice to the ways that He can actually speak to us. He can totally speak to us through a fish. I'm sure multiple people, Jim back there, has talked about how when he went trout fishing that's when he got saved. I mean, God can speak to us through many different ways, but a lot of times we limit those things. So we got to be careful. What is it?
Jonah.
Right. I'm going to talk about Jonah here in a little bit. About he's the perfect example of how God can use different things to speak to us in our lives. So then if I'm at church and I'm a Christian, what are the odds that God's trying to tell me to do something that while I'm here? Pretty high chances that if I'm a Christian and I'm in church, that He probably wants me to be involved in this service. That's what I've come here to do, is to worship Him and to do something for Him, and to praise Him and to grow. So, you know, there's a pretty good chance that if I'm a Christian, I'm sitting in church, that God's done something for me throughout the week, that He probably wants me to get up and tell somebody about it. Or I've noticed somebody in my life that needs prayer. He probably wants me to request prayer for that person. You know, He wants me to go to the altar because there's something going on in my life that I need help with, or something like that. There's pretty high chances that God wants us to do one of those things while we're here. And if we haven't done that in a while, the chances are is that we probably haven't been listening. Because we know He's trying to get us to do something. But if we haven't done that for a long time, either we haven't listened or we've heard Him and we're not willing to do it. So that's the question we want to decide where we're at. Are we listening? Are we listening at all? And if we are listening, to what extent are we going to obey what He's asking us to do? So if we turn to James chapter 1, verse 5, turn there real quick. It talks about how if we ask God to talk to give us guidance, that He will do that. So James chapter 1, verse 5. It says, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him." So it says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. And then near at the end it says, "And it shall be given him." So if we're looking for wisdom and guidance in our life, all we have to do is we ask God, and it says, it shall be given. So he will give us wisdom if we ask for it. So if we're going through something in our lives and we need help with it, all we have to do is ask God for help. And it says that he will give us the guidance that we need and the wisdom that we need. But a lot of times I know from personal experience, and I'm sure you guys would agree, that there's things in our lives that we've asked for help on and we don't feel like we got the guidance that we needed. And maybe we made the wrong decision. But we know that that's our fault for that, because we didn't listen, because it says that he will give us the guidance that we need. So either we weren't looking or hearing his voice in the right way, or we weren't open to hearing his voice in a certain way, that we may have made that wrong decision because we didn't hear his guidance that he was trying to give us. So we know he will speak to us. We just have to hear him. And there's different ways that he does that. So the next question is, once we hear him, once we do hear his voice and what he's trying to tell us to do, then to what extent are we going to do what he's wanting us to do? Where is our barrier on, okay, if he wants me to do this, I'll do it, but if we go past that barrier, he wants me to do this, no, I'm not going to do that. That's what I want you to think about. Where is your barrier? If once you hear God trying to tell you to do something, how far will you go to do what he's asking you to do? So if we talk about Jonah, you know the story. He was God spoke to him and told him to go to Nineveh. And Aaron taught about this last Sunday, I believe, in contemporary service, and then also in the Team VBS. He talked about Jonah, and so that God wanted Jonah to go to Nineveh, and we all know that Nineveh was a terrible, terrible place. It was evil. There was a lot of wickedness going on in the city. They didn't like people like Jonah. They did not like God's people, and Jonah was a prophet, and God wanted him to go to Nineveh and talk to them and try to get them to turn away from their wickedness. And he's like, you know, he knows how dangerous it is for him to go there because they didn't like him. So he did not want to do that. He basically, his barrier was, you know, he'll do something for God, but once God asked him to go to Nineveh, his barrier was, nope, that's the barrier. I'm not going past that. I'm not doing that. So, you know, he went down to Joppa where the port was. And so Joppa's here, and then Nineveh's all the way over there at the baptistry, and then Tarshish, which is to say it's the mic. God wanted Jonah to go from Joppa to Nineveh over there. And then so Jonah goes down to the port of Joppa, and he asks some guys on a boat that have a boat. He's like, this is just ad-libbing, obviously. He just says, you know, where are you guys headed? And they say, well, we're going to Tarshish. He says, perfect. That's exactly where I want to go, the opposite direction of where Nineveh is. He said, that's music to my ears. Let me on the boat because we're going the other way. And so then he gets halfway out on the sea, and what happens? The storm hits. So, and Jonah's asleep in the bottom of the boat, and he gets woke up. The people on the crew on the ship wake him up because they're like, somebody on this boat has gotten God mad at them to be causing this terrible of a storm. And Jonah, as soon as he realizes what's going on, he knows that it's him. Because he's, like I said, he was a prophet. He's been in a relationship with God. He knows how God can speak. So in this situation, God spoke through a storm. And he was able to recognize that because of the years of his experience talking to God. He was able to recognize that God was speaking to him and saying, you've messed up. You know, this storm is caused because of you. So then they throw him off the boat, and then he gets swallowed up by the great fish. So then God kind of turns his heart around while he's in that fish to tell him that he needs to go to Nineveh, and he changes his mind and he does go to Nineveh. So God spoke to Jonah through a storm and through a fish. That's just one example of how God can talk to us in different ways. That's the way his voice works. He can talk to us through whatever will get our attention. And then another one that I actually hadn't heard of before until God was leading me to this scripture. This was the first scripture he kind of gave me, and then the message kind of came around it, which was Isaiah chapter 20. If you guys want to turn there. Isaiah chapter 20, verse 1 through 4. OK, Okay, and it says, in the year that Tartan came to Ashdod, when Sargon, the king of Assyria, sent him, and fought against Ashdod and took it, at the same time spake the Lord by Isaiah, the son of Amoz, saying, go and loose the sackcloth from off thy loins, and put off thy shoe from thy foot. And he did so, walking naked and barefoot. And the Lord said, like as my servant Isaiah hath walked naked and barefoot 3 years, for a sign and wonder upon Egypt and upon Ethiopia, so shall the king of Assyria lead away the Egyptian prisoners and the Ethiopians captives, young and old, and naked and barefoot, even with their buttocks uncovered, to the shame of Egypt. So basically, this God told Isaiah, now you might think that's a weird scripture to read, but God told Isaiah to take off all his clothes and to walk around for 3 years naked in front of all these people, which would be very, very humiliating, right? Imagine if you had to go to the mall and walk around naked in front of people, how humiliating that would be. So that was God's purpose in this, that he was using Isaiah as an example to the Egyptians and Ethiopians, that the Assyrians were going to capture the Egyptians and Ethiopians. The Assyrians were going to capture them, and they were going to lead them around humiliatingly. That was his example, was that God was trying to warn these people that you're going to be just like Isaiah if you don't listen, because you're going to get captured by the Assyrians, and then you're going to be humiliated just like Isaiah is being humiliated here. He used Isaiah as to get to the minds and hearts of these people. So that's obviously a very extreme level of doing something that God would want you to do. So I guess you could say that Isaiah's barrier was way back. You know, he was willing to do pretty much anything. If he was willing to walk around naked for 3 years, he was pretty much willing to do anything that God asked him to do. Now, I can hear somebody now saying, oh, preacher said if I don't walk around naked, then I'm not listening to what God wants me to do. So don't think that. The thing is, it's just an example of to the extent that God would want us to do something. And we all have our barriers of where how far we're going to go for what God wants us to do. But our goal is, you know, a lot of times when we're first starting out as Christian, our barriers, you know, close. You know, we'll do something small, but we're, you know, but as we grow, we're trying to push back that barrier. We're trying to push it back to where I'll do even more for you. I'll do even more for God. I'm more comfortable for doing even more for what God would want me to do. So that's the question I want you to think about: is where is your barrier in your Christian walk? To what length are you willing to go for what God would want you to do? So like for me right now, say for me in the church service, you know, I'm willing to testify. If God wants me to testify, I'm willing to testify. But if He wants me to go sing a song, you know, that might be past my barrier right now, because personally I don't feel comfortable doing that. But hopefully, as I grow, maybe one day that I'll move my barrier back to where if He wants me to sing a song, then I'll sing a song. But that's our purpose, is to move back that barrier to where, okay, I'll go this far. I'll go whatever you want me to do, God. I will do that. So that's the question. You know, every service, do we walk in willing to do whatever God wants us to do, or do we come in saying, this is what I'll do, and this is what I'm not willing to do? We don't want to limit what God wants us to do. If we put a limit on God, we're not gonna get out of the service what we should be getting out of it. We have to be open and willing. If God wants you to do this, I'll do it, and then it's going to work out because we have that assurance from God. But it takes practice. It takes practice trying to hear God's voice and what He would have us to do. I read a story about there was a family at a restaurant, and their little boy was eating with his mouth was full when he was talking, and nobody could understand him, right? When your mouth's full with food, you can't hardly understand what somebody's saying. And they said, they told him to talk with his mouth full. They couldn't understand what he said. Well, there was a dentist at the table nearby, and he knew exactly what that little boy said, because he hears people talk with their mouth open all the time at where he works. And he said he needs some ketchup, is what the little boy said. And I only told that story because I'm sure as a dentist, when you're first starting work, you probably can't understand what people are saying at all. But the longer that you work as a dentist, the more you get accustomed to how they're speaking, and you can understand them better. And it's the same for us with our Christian walk. When we first started out, it's probably pretty tough for us to try to hear God's voice in our lives. But the longer that we're walking with God, and the longer that we're practiced talking to God and listening for His voice back, the more ways that we hear, we like for testimonies. When we hear testimonies, That's somebody could be standing up and testifying about how God spoke to them. Then that opens up our mind to say, okay, well, if he spoke to them that way, he can speak to me that way. The longer that we walk with Christ, the more we realize the ways that God can speak to us, the more accustomed we get to kind of getting in tune with hearing his voice in our lives. So, you know, another example would probably be, you know, since it is a relationship with us and God, I'm sure whenever those of you who are married here, those of you who are dating, when you first started out, I'm sure you didn't know your partner as much as you do now, right? Or else maybe you wouldn't have married him, right? If you know, now that you know him the way you do. But when you first start out, you don't know him. You don't know him as well as you do as you grow. So that's an example with our Christian walk. You know, when we first start out with Christ, you know, we're not always accustomed to the way his voice sounds and to what he would have us to do. The longer we grow, the more that we grow, the longer that we're with him and speaking to him, communicating with him, the more that we grow to hear his voice better. Just like with your relationship, the more you learn your spouse, you know, you grow and it becomes easier for you to understand them and what they want. And it's the same with God. The longer that we're with him and we speak to him, the more that we'll grow and we'll learn what he wants us to do. So if they would get a song, if you're here this morning, and maybe you're not saved, and you know, you don't know if God's talking to you or not. If you have that feeling, if you have any doubt, if you have any thought at all that you think maybe I should get saved, that's probably God trying to tell you that you should probably get saved. It's not you just thinking that on your own. If you feel have a feeling that you should be that you want God in your life, and it's a God that will speak to you and guide you throughout your life, and if you want that in your life, you can get that this morning. If you're here this morning and you are saved and maybe you're going through something and you just want his guidance, maybe you haven't been able to hear him with what you're going through, and you just want to come to the altar this morning and pray just to maybe hear his voice a little bit louder or whatever it is that you need to hear him, that's what this altar is for us to grow. That's what we're here for, is to come to church to grow in our faith and in our walk and to ask God for help in our lives. So if that's you this morning, whatever you need, the altar is open. If you want to pray for guidance in your life, or for you to be able to hear God's voice a little louder, you can get that this morning as they sing. If you're not saved and you want to come, we'll be here to pray with you. And if you just want guidance in your life for help to hear God's voice, the altar's open. Everybody stand.
Everyone stand, get a page, turn to 51. 51. Without him, I could do nothing. Without him, I surely fail. Without turn here.
do you guys remember what the first two questions I asked were?
Are we listening for God to tell us what he wants us to do? And how far are we willing to go once we hear him, what he wants us to do? Just think about that in your lives, and that's for you to answer, and then figure out where your barrier is, and then our goal is to keep moving that back, and so that we're more and more willing to do what he would have us to do in our lives, and then just if we can, God's trying to talk to us all the time. There's a verse, I think it's in Ephesians, that says praying always. And that's just saying talking to God throughout the day. Just talking to him throughout our daily life. So if we're speaking to him, he's going to be speaking back to us. And he can speak to, we talked about it, he can speak to us through many different things. Just try to keep your eyes open. Try to keep our eyes open throughout our lives, what's going on. Things that God could be trying to get us to do or trying to tell us through what's going on. So does anybody have anything before we dismiss? Choir singing tonight.
I have the two sign-up sheets of Teen Retreat
and Awakening.
Okay.
Thank you. The Teen Retreat is what?